I heard about this pill. If you take this pill, it will tremendously reduce the possibility that you will ever have heart trouble. It will eliminate the possibility you will ever have high blood pressure. It will cure some forms of asthma, rheumatism, ulcers, colds, malfunctions of the thyroid, arthritis, migraine headaches, and a host of all kinds of stomach disorders. And you're probably all saying, where can I get that pill? Well, before you pull out your credit cards and want to sign up, it's right there in what we just heard. It's in Jesus' words to us to stop worrying. Doctors today are quite candid in admitting that more than half of the patients in hospitals are there as much because of the accumulated effects of mental problems and stress and worrying as anything else. The message tonight is simple. Jesus told us, stop worrying. Can any of us think of any possible good thing that worrying helps us to do? It does nothing for us. It actually paralyzes us in its severe cases that disables us from doing anything. And the examples that Jesus gives tonight, you know, I think this is one of the gospels we should all have on our bathroom mirrors to read to ourselves in the morning or at night whenever you are a worry wart. Tomorrow's got enough troubles of its own. Today's troubles are enough. There's a man that wrote a book called Don't Sweat the Small Stuff. You probably heard about it. Maybe you read it. The background for that book I find very interesting. He's driving his little girl home from school, and they get caught in a traffic jam. And while in the traffic jam, the little girl in the back seat is looking out the window, and after a while she pipes up and says to her father, "Daddy, why are all the people mad?" And he starts with that to look around, and he sees that they're not necessarily mad, but they certainly look concerned and worried and unhappy. And that's what starts him on this reflection that he ends up writing this book, that the full title is Don't Sweat the Small Stuff, and It's All Small Stuff. To put it in simple terms, we are born. That's big stuff. Eventually, we die. That's big stuff. But just about everything else in between, if we look at it from this perspective of not worrying, is really small stuff. But we need to stop worrying about it. For me, this really came home. I've shared this story many times with people because for me, it's where this gospel really came home. I'm working at Motorola, and we're in the Corporate Customer Satisfaction Council, and we're doing this research with potential customers about this new thing, this new phone system with satellites called Iridium. And all of the customers that we were talking to were telling us, we don't want this thing. We're not going to buy it. The phone looks like a World War II walkie-talkie. It doesn't work inside. You have to be out in the wilderness to use it. And it costs $3,000, and the airtime's going to be $3 a minute. We're not going to buy it. They didn't listen, and they end up, would you believe, wasting $18 billion. And those satellites that were around the world are just floating around up there until gravity gets them and they fall down to the earth. For me, that was a realization. You know, I don't need to worry about my life too much because it's going to be pretty hard for me to screw up enough that I blow $18 billion. I'm sure you have your own examples in your own life for that, but why do we worry? What's the worst thing that could happen? I don't mean to sound fatalistic, but the worst thing that could ever happen to us is God calls us home to heaven. That's not such a bad deal, and by the way, we're all going to end up there anyway. So stop worrying. There is a man by the name of Randy Pouch. I don't know if you have seen or heard of him, but he's been in the news a lot lately. He's on YouTube. If you Google him, you'll get his speech in all kinds of different languages. Randy Pouch is a man who was a professor and researcher at Carnegie Mellon University. He was diagnosed with terminal pancreatic cancer. He was told he had 3 to 6 months to live. You talk about a man that embodied this gospel that we hear tonight. Randy decided, they have this tradition at Carnegie of a thing called the last lecture. It's when they invite a professor in to give a lecture to the students, and almost like you're pretending it's the last thing you could ever say to people before you die. What would you say? And so here comes Randy, and he gives this speech. And he's talking about the very things about what's really important in life. And when he finishes the speech, he says, you know, I really didn't do this to give it to all you students. I did it to give it to a 5-year-old, a 4-year-old, and a 2-year-old, my kids. So that when they grow up and they don't have their father around with them physically, they can hear what was important that I thought was important about life. Well, that speech has been translated into so many different languages. You can go Google it and you'll find it. He appeared on Oprah Winfrey even. In the course of sort of paring down that message on Oprah Winfrey, he talks about one specific example of what's important is people, not things. I'd like to show you that little clip.
That's who saw it that way. My parents taught me about the importance of people versus things. So when I got older and I bought my first car and I was so excited, I had this shiny new convertible. This is my niece and nephew, Christopher and Laura, and every month I'd take them for a weekend, so my sister and her husband would get a little break, and we'd go off on adventures, and I'd just shown up with my new car, and my sister's explaining to Chris and Laura, "That's Uncle Randy's new car, you can't get it dirty, da-da-da-da-da-da," and they're just cracking up laughing, because over her shoulder, I'm casually opening a can of soda and just emptying it on the back seat. And they come running over. My sister says, "What are you doing?" And I said, "It's a thing. It's just a thing." And I'm really glad I did that, because at the end of the weekend, as I was driving them home, little Chris, who was about 8 at the time, had the flu, and he threw up all over the back seat of my car. And I don't care how much value you get out of owning a nice, shiny, pristine thing. It's not as good as I felt knowing that I made an 8-year-old boy not feel guilty just because he'd had the flu.
Time goes on. Randy survives beyond the 3 to 6 months to such a point that he is asked this past week to give the commencement address at Carnegie, which he did. A little weaker in his body, but tremendously more powerful in his depth of words, he shares with them and with us this message that was featured on ABC News.
Ladies and gentlemen, please join me in welcoming home Randy Pouch.
I think the only advice I can give you on how to live your life well is, first off, remember, it's a cliche, but I love cliches. It is not the things we do in life that we regret on our deathbed. It is the things we do not. Find your passion and follow it. And if there is anything I have learned in my life, you will not find that passion in things. And you will not find that passion in money. Because the more things and the more money you have, the more you will just look around and use that as the metric. And there will always be someone with more. That passion will be grounded in people, and it will be grounded in the relationships you have with people and what they think of you when your time comes.
You know, the hat's running out of rabbits, and we know that. And with the heart failure and the kidney failure,
it takes a lot of potential treatments you might try off the table, because it doesn't do any good to stop the tumors if you stop my heart at the same time.
These days, he told us, happiness is measured in milestones with his children. Last week, his daughter Chloe's second birthday.
There was one moment where I was looking at Chloe and her Uncle Bob, and I did have this fleeting thought of, you know, someday he'll get to walk her down the aisle, which was just the strangest thought. But no, it was mostly just, I wouldn't have bet a plug nickel that I was going to be around for Chloe's second birthday.
And there's Dylan and Logan. They're now preparing for that conversation, explaining their dad's illness.
Don't let tomorrow wreck today.
Yeah. I don't have to lose what we have right now in this moment, thinking about what the inevitable is going to be.
Yeah.
So that's one of the magical things that we've learned.
Next goal, be here for Father's Day. Maybe I'll get some good stuff. And if you can gain the respect of those around you and the passion and true love, and I've said this before, but I waited till 39 to get married because I had to wait that long to find someone where her happiness was more important than mine. And if nothing else, I hope that all of you can find that kind of passion and that kind of love in your life. Thank you.
Don't let tomorrow wreck your today. Stop worrying. Let's take that to prayer.